Fair Isle's extraordinary because it's the most remote. You just don't see other places.
This week on the Nature Stories podcast, producer Nick Rankin travels to Fair Isle, one of the most remote inhabited islands in the British Isles, to see how newcomers find their place in a small, tight-knit community. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week, we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Across the Water, produced by Nick Rankin and Kate Howells with the BBC.
Now, the shipping forecast, issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130. There are warnings of gales in Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes and Southeast Iceland.
Fair Isle is a rugged, treeless Scottish island with a permanent population of only 68 people, many of them smallholders who keep sheep and grow root vegetables. Fair Isle is remote, 25 miles by sea from Shetland, and it's always been outward-looking, trading goods like its famous patterned knitwear with the wider world.
Squally wintry showers, moderate or poor.
That is the wind blowing here on Fair Isle. Looking out the window, I can see Tommy digging potatoes with his anorak lashing against his head, and behind him, the South Landing Place, which is boiling surf smashing itself onto black crags. Huge clouds of spume blown 40 feet in the air. It certainly does look rather bleak.
Have you seen my dad?
He's out there digging potatoes in the garden. Do you need him?
Yeah, I need him.
I'm in the home of an American family from Saratoga Springs, New York, who are now living on Fair Isle. 7-year-old Henry, his dad Tommy Hindman in the blowy garden, and Mom on the phone, Liz Musser. They're among the most recent incomers to the island. Not everybody who lives on Fair Isle was born here, and for the BBC World Service, I've come to see how newcomers find their place in an established community. Because Fair Isle's population was getting low, the conservation body which owns the island, the National Trust for Scotland, advertised for more newcomers in September 2005, which is when Liz Musser first heard about it in the USA through National Public Radio.
Well, I was in traffic, drive time, just after 5.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Along with thousands of other cars heading up the Northway, and I heard this story on NPR.
If the drumbeat of news about hurricanes and floods and insurgency gets overwhelming, you might find yourself drawn to a small classified ad in the housing section of the Scottish newspaper Shetland Today. To let on Fair Isle, it says, 2 houses for rent by the National Trust for Scotland on Fair Isle, way up in the North Sea, between the Orkney and Shetland Islands. It's one of the most remote British islands, just 3 miles long and a mile across, population about 65.
Gosh, what was it that hit me? But I think part of what it was is where I was just in my career and in my life. My job was in a sort of precarious position, so I was thinking about change. And I heard the island historian of Fair Isle, Anne Sinclair.
I think what we need here at the moment is people with a practical bent, you know, people with a lot of go in them. It's not an opportunity to get away from it all. That should be stressed. If you're the kind of person who needs to go out to the pub at night and needs a daily newspaper, then you might find it quite hard going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we look for is people with their feet on the ground. We do occasionally get people here who think, ah, wonderful, how romantic. But in actual fact, you really need to be able to look at yourself in the mirror. You'll not get away from anything, because if you're trying to run, there's nowhere to run in Fair Isle.
Well, she came in the house all excited, and she was going on about this house and island, and it was really cheap to rent, and I was immediately skeptical. And she sort of got mad, and she ran to the computer and started going on the internet.
Fair Isle website had like 30,000 hits that night because there were so many other people that were also sitting in their cars. It hit the airways at drive time. So you had hundreds of thousands of people listening to the story. Then, you know, 30,000 people interested enough to see where it could possibly lead. And I think initially maybe 12,000 people requested applications, several thousand actually submitted them. I think I heard that the Fair Isle Housing Forum narrowed it down to maybe 800 realistic applications and just kind of got rid of what they called the nutters. And so it ended up being almost a competition. It wasn't meant as a competition, but it turned into something like that.
We put together an application and we made a good presentation and we made the first cut into being accepted to the island. And then we had to do a further business plan. I think we did a pretty good one.
And from there, they narrowed it down to 5 families, I believe. And then they said, you know, we're not going to make a decision until you've come, and you also have to make a decision, an informed decision, by visiting the island. And we came in March, which is not, you know, high season. It can be a sort of bleak time. And we ended up, as will happen on Fair Isle, getting stuck. And our maybe 2 or 3 day visit turned into almost a week. And in that time, we went around and visited a lot of folks on the island and decided, wow, you know, it's not just about the place, it's about the people. And we really liked the people. And we met Anne Sinclair in person. And we got to meet everybody. And we fell in love with it.
Kan du bare fortelle oss her, på din båt til land.
Fair Isle is ruled by weather. Everybody and everything reaches the island either across rough seas on the cargo boat the Good Shepherd or by air in a 10-seater Islander aircraft. And if the weather's bad, you can get neither in nor out. I myself waited 2 days for the boat, which never sailed, so I had to fly. When walking between the whitewashed houses scattered across the southern half of the island, my spectacles were almost plucked off my face by winds gusting up to 80 miles an hour.
Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes. Cyclonic or southwesterly gale 8 to storm 10, occasionally violent storm 11, decreasing 6 to gale 8.
Fair Isle is one of the weather areas in between Faroes and Viking that feature in the shipping forecast for British waters. The local data going into these weather reports is gathered by the meteorologist Dave Wheeler. Dave is also the airfield manager on Fair Isle, where he's been living with his wife Jane since 1972, and his information helps the pilots find windows in the weather.
I do weather observations hourly during the day. Start at 6 o'clock in the morning through to 1800 in the evening. I do another observation at 2100 GMT. I used to do one at midnight, but I stopped that now because getting to bed at back at 1 o'clock in the morning and then up again at 5 o'clock in the morning and didn't give much time for sleep.
I'm Jane Wheeler. We've been married for more than 40 years.
What was the coming here like? How were you treated?
Well, we were very lucky because there had been about 25 years when only boys were born to the island. So those boys had to look for wives who weren't islanders. And it meant that virtually every house had one islander and one incomer, and we didn't really stick out. They were very helpful. They didn't push their help, but you had only to ask and people would help you in any way they could. We were most impressed.
Did you help others in return?
Yes, that's the way things are done here. Everybody helps everybody else, but you don't push yourself. You have to wait until you're asked.
There are islands or villages or communities where there are difficulties between people, where there are arguments or disputes or quarrels or grudges. Does that happen?
It doesn't seem to happen. I think that's because of the rather unique situation on Fair Isle, that you are very dependent upon your neighbours. Without them, you couldn't continue to live on the island because you need the boat crew to run the ferry. You need the people at the airfield to direct flight, the airline to get the aircraft in. You need to get on with people. There's no doubt about that. If you can't get on with people, then you probably end up leaving anyway.
You know, the community is a different thing than any place I've lived. No one locks their doors of the house. We went on vacation 2 weeks, didn't lock the door. I dare you to do it. You know, where you live. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, you tell your kid to go outside and play in the street. There's not much traffic. You can see it coming, and, you know, they're fine. You don't worry about it. That's the most beautiful thing about living on Fair Isle, is raising your child in Saratoga, which is a beautiful town and a very safe town. Every time a car drove by, you ran to the front yard to make sure your kid was still there. If a van drives down the street on Fair Isle, my son will run up to him and ask him if they've seen any birds. It's a bit surreal in that way. Those type of things make Fair Isle an amazing place because the community is so strong and it's built with that trust among everybody.
There really aren't very many openings for the younger ones. The idea has always been that we encourage our children to go away from the island, not return here directly from school, because, of course, they're away for 3 weeks at a time in secondary school. But we encourage them to go away and get some skill, or to go to college or to university. And then a small proportion of them make a conscious decision to return. And there are usually the odd croft house available. So we have had a sprinkling of young people returning. But at the moment, because the National Trust, at the time when we came, which was in the early 1970s, they brought quite a number of people of the same age to the island, so we're all aging together.
Far away across the waters lies the dear land of our birth, scattered
That's Anne Sinclair with her Fair Isle family group, Fridere. It's their singing you've heard in this Global Perspective on the BBC World Service. Anne Sinclair, who comes from a Shetland family rooted here for centuries, is the person who Liz Musser heard on National Public Radio, being interviewed as the historian of Fair Isle. And inside the Fair Isle Museum, an old schoolroom containing furniture made from shipwreck wood, cases of ancient knitwear patterns, and the memorabilia of survival, Anne Sinclair understands that island life is fragile.
There's certainly a time in the 40s and 50s that was quite bad for the island, and that the population went down quite dramatically, and they also became very elderly, to the point where they actually considered evacuating the island.
So it would be like St Kilda?
Yes, that was seriously discussed by the Shetland Islands Council, what was called the Zetland County Council at that point. And they said if new families didn't come back, or young families didn't come back, then they would have to look at it again. And that is actually when my parents came back, because my mum was born and brought up here, and my dad is from Unst, which is another Shetland island. And my parents thought, that can't do, so that's when we came back. But, I mean, every small community, whether on an island or in the middle of a mountain or wherever, lives on a knife edge. You never sit back and rest on your laurels. You can't. No, you can't afford to, because it takes very little to make a huge difference. And I think as long as we have enough crew and not too many passengers, then we'll be fine.
You have quite a few kin on the island.
Yes.
Is there a name for the established islanders, like your family?
I would really hope not. because I think that if you live in Fair Isle, you should belong to Fair Isle. There shouldn't be a I mean, where are you going to draw the line? 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years? It's a nonsense.
Tommy and Liz's story, you're part of their story in that they heard a radio programme on National Public Radio in the USA. Do you remember what happened or what you said?
I remember very well. I don't remember what I said, but I was trying very hard not to paint a picture that, you know, was ecstatic and wonderful and Paradise Island. And the island is just special to us because we live here, as it is to Tommy and Liz because they live here. But as far as I'm concerned, they're from Fair Isle as well, unless they choose to be something different, and that's fine as well. But we don't start drawing lines.
Further up the hill, Anne's daughter, the singer-songwriter Lisa Sinclair, tells me in her kitchen what's unique about this island.
Fair Isle's extraordinary because it's the most remote. You just don't see other places. And I only realised the peculiarity of that when I went to other islands and realised that you could see other islands from them or mainlands or various just other people around you. Whereas here, you're looking out towards Orkney, which is flat, so we don't see it. So you're not aware of other places at all.
But what you are aware of is a kind of spectacular natural beauty. When I came to your house, you were outside looking at an absolutely ravishing sunset behind the lighthouse.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Extraordinary kind of lemon-coloured light coming in bars across. Mm. I mean, really weird and glorious. And you had to go outside, even though it's freezing cold, to look at it.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I would ever lose that startlement about the landscape. It changes all the time because the light changes all the time. It changes at different times of year, and the sky is so predominant in the landscape, and the sky is always changing.
In this place where the sea and the sky make such an impact, Liz Musser has found that looking after elderly people has earthed her on Fair Isle.
You have to connect, and you start to find that you are part of this webbing or this woven sort of...
community?
Community, thank you. And you have a different level of importance, and if you were to pull yourself out, I mean, there is a possibility at a certain level that things could possibly unravel, you know? And I get that feeling mirrored from the men that I look in on and also their families, you know?
I don't know as far as what I had to do to fit in, and I don't know if I really do fit in. I think I'm accepted as who I am. And being different is not bad, I don't think. People have done plenty of things on this island that, you know, I never thought I would do. I never thought I'd dig a grave in a cemetery. You know, when somebody died in the island, all the men show up and they dig the grave in the old graveyard. And you never know what you find when you dig in the graveyard on Fair Isle.
Well, when my grandmother died, I wasn't there. Nobody in my family really was. My sister showed up and found my grandmother had passed away. And she called somebody and they came in and they took away my grandmother, and we didn't see her until she was all ready to be buried. And really, she was, you know, the coffin was closed. When someone died here, someone that I looked in on, you know, I was there, and I held his hand, and he closed his eyes, and that was it. And, you know, we were all involved in that. And he was...
And Tommy dug his grave.
Yep, Tommy did, and there was a procession from the chapel where the men of the island, and it's a long tradition, carried his coffin on these poles. The way the island works, where, you know, the weight gets too heavy and somebody else comes in and fills the spot, and they get relieved for a little bit. He was carried down from the chapel down to the seaside cemetery.
And it's a beautiful place to lie, too, because that cemetery down by the South Light, right? Yeah. And the harbour, and the seas coming in, and the sunlight and stuff, and it's... You live and you die on the island, and to be buried on the island is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the man who's our neighbor, Jimmy Stout, who was skipper at the Good Shepherd for years and a crofter and pumps our gas and delivers large items off the Good Shepherd, is the one that maintains that and takes out his lawnmower and makes sure that it's all kept. And, yeah, so it's not some anonymous person who's making sure that that still is a beautiful place. It's our neighbor who makes sure that's a beautiful place. And he's mowing the grass of his ancestors and his, you know, their neighbors. And, yeah, exactly, yeah. There's no anonymity.
Now, you're Jimmy Stout, right?
Yes.
Are you recording?
I am recording.
Well, you should tell me before you start.
Could I?
Okay. Polite of you.
I'm sorry. Absolutely. Yes, I should do. My name is Nick Rankin. Uh-huh. I'm working for the BBC World Service. Mm-hmm. May I talk to you? Just to say, you're Jimmy Stout.
That's right,
and,
yeah.
And the name Stout is very common on Fair Isle, isn't it?
It was common. It's not so common now. There are much more different names on the island now as what was 100 years ago. You know, common names in Fair Isle then.
What about you, and how long have you been?
I was born here. My parents were both born here as well, and my grandparents, yeah. But there are not many left who are of
no,
that
no,
ilk.
Right. No. What do you call yourself if you're old islanders? Authentic islanders?
Indigenous, perhaps.
Indigenous, okay. How do you feel about incomers and new people?
The island needs new people. A few people do come back, and that's been good, but not enough people come back, so you do need new people. And the new people, after one generation, become part of the island.
Hello. Did I tell you the good news?
Tell me what.
Our visas just got passed through.
Oh, that's good.
We just came in the mail.
That's good.
So I'm your neighbor for 3 more years. At least.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
No, it is good. I thought it might be a problem, but it wasn't. So.
No. Oh, some people strike it lucky. No, that's good, Tommy. Splendid.
So is Tommy a good neighbour?
Oh, a splendid neighbour. And his wife does a lot of good work with the old people, and these jobs are essential now. Care in the community is wonderful, but you need the caring people to look after the people in the community. So they're doing a good job, yeah.
I'd like to publicly thank the people of Fair Isle for inviting those into their community.
That was Across the Water by Nick Rankin and Kate Howells with the BBC. To hear more pieces like this one, visit the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback, write to us at podcast@tnc.org. From Woodsall, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.